Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this June 26th, 2023, 3:06 on the clock, got your host, James J. I am joined by my partner in sports, Mr. Randy Paul.
Morning, James. Morning, James. See, I can't stop.
I know. That. I did it, too. I did it earlier.
Afternoon, James.
Afternoon, Randy. Good to have you with us. We are going to be joined shortly by Tyler Miller, Operations Manager with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Looking forward to talking with Tyler. Going to talk with him a little bit about promotions this season, how the season is going, and some players that are going to be joining us in the next couple of weeks. Looking forward to that. We'll talk some Rafters, and we'll talk to you. Call up 424-2600. This is your show. Call up with your sports thoughts and feelings. We want to hear from you. We get too far into the show. Want to send a big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring our segment. Take all your printing needs to our friends at Quality Plus Printing here in Wisconsin Rapids. Phil and the gang will take good care of you. Taking care of our Rafters, certainly working with them over there quite a bit. That's been fun. I got a couple of places I want to start. We'll get into Rafters news here, Randy. But first, right out the gate, I got a bone to pick.
Ah, okay.
My Chicago Blackhawks are going to be, they have the number one pick in the draft this week. And they're going to be drafting a kid that, by all rights, knocking on wood and everything else, looks like the next great one.
Okay.
This kid, Connor Bedard. If you do not know who he is, everybody, go ahead and Google his name. And within a minute of watching one of his highlights, you will see why we are so excited about this kid coming to Chicago, coming to the NHL. It's not just that. It's him coming to the Midwest. However, the Blackhawks made a trade about 4 or 5 minutes ago, knowing that I have a sports show I've got to prep and get ready for, and I was not able to dive into it and just be a fan and geek out and look into all this. I'm a little disappointed in my organization. They did not check with me beforehand.
Maybe they traded him to the Bears. He'd be a wide receiver.
Oh, could use it. Could definitely use it. Definitely. We're looking for anything to be smiling about in Chicago right now. I bring that up in joking, obviously, but it does kind of. I noticed the coverage of sports, how it has changed in the last 15 to 20 years, and how I talk to a lot of people who have been in this industry a long time, similar to yourself, Randy, and you get this to a degree. It's a little different on a local level, and especially when you're covering high school sports. And baseball is almost completely different because baseball is regional, and you have your hometown Bob Uecker hosts, announcers. But it used to be back in the day, especially like on ESPN and the big ones, you didn't know whose favorite team there were. You know, I wouldn't know that Michael Wilbon was a Chicago Cubs fan. I wouldn't know those things. But now they wear it like a badge. Now they wear it like, this is who I root for. This is my team. And that, and the we that I just did with the Chicago Blackhawks, which we used to joke about as friend, as like you and I are talking off the air or something like that. But you don't do that on the air. On the air, you got to come across with journalistic integrity and everything is even and stuff. I don't know if sports is better or not for this, but I do find it really interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of funny because as a Packer fan growing up in Wisconsin, it's always been we.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one we are allowed.
Absolutely. You're right.
Yep. All the way home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Darn right.
But yeah, you're exactly right. And the other thing that you notice is, you know, this morning I'm kind of checking things out for our show this afternoon and looking if there's anything that's breaking, you know, and because it is just there, right? Instantaneously. Mm-hmm. It used to be that it would come across very slowly. It'd almost be secretive. Now it's just up to the minute, and just like you said, here it is, breaking news 2 minutes before we go on the air, and it's just nonstop.
Well, especially with the way the coverage is. I was looking at it. I keep hearing people say, well, this is the dead time for sports. I actually had a friend of mine laugh at me, like, how are you going to fill an hour? I was like, what do you mean? There's no off time. There's no off time. I got articles popping up all over the place from the NFL about who's going to be on Hard Knocks, the biggest takeaways from the offseason, blah, blah, blah. You know, Elgin Jenkins giving us some talking pieces here and everything, saying that the Packers are still the number one team in the NFC North. This kind of stuff. There's no off season. There's no dead time of year. Maybe if you're a person who just like scores of yeah. games, then it might be a little difficult for you with no NHL, NBA, or NFL. But otherwise, I mean, it's go time every day with sports. The baseball season has not slowed down necessarily. Or, I mean, it's just supposed to pick up now, of course. That was another thing that I wanted to get into, too. And we're looking for Tyler to join us here any minute. So as we're filling that time, Randy, we'd love to have your calls, 424-2600. But the Cubs and, God, I don't even know who. Who are the Cubs and somebody just got done playing in London.
Oh,
Ah!
Yeah. Cardinals.
Cardinals. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I want to get into that with you, Randy, and the coverage of that. But first, let's go ahead and do more important things. Take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Hey, James. It's Tyler Miller.
I thought it was. Hey, Tyler, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good. We have Tyler Miller, Operations Manager with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, joining us right now. Tyler, I appreciate the time, especially how busy you guys are with everything going on promotion-wise and that. We'll get to that in a moment. I wanted to get your take, especially being behind the scenes. How have you felt so far about the Rafter season? How are you? How is it in the clubhouse? How's everybody doing?
I think it's going really well. I think it took, you know, a couple weeks on our side of it, on the back end of the operations, and making sure concessions was, you know, locked in good and kind of all that stuff was laid out. And you know, now that we're a couple weeks into the season, things are rocking and rolling, and I think things are going really well. As far as the clubhouse goes, man, these guys are starting to gel and starting to click. Having some returners in there that lead the clubhouse is a huge key to all of this. You know, one name that I'm sure will get brought up today is Brendan Bobo. Having his presence in the locker room, having his presence in Central Wisconsin, really boosted everything. And I think the season's off to a great start. Now being 2 days away from a month into the season, things are going well.
I'm going to hang on to Brendan as long as we can. I don't want him leaving anytime soon. I want him to be a Rafter for life. Very happy to have him back in town. And it's a great one to mention, too, because not only is it a familiar name to us, but a leader in the clubhouse from everything we can tell.
No, he definitely is. He's one that comes right in and makes an immediate impact. He, you know, the joke was he changed his walk-up song. I'm the one that's in charge of the music. And he changed his walk-up song from last year, and he started the season out 0-10. And he came up to me and said he would like to change it back, and is now batting .213 with 4 home runs in his first 12 games here in Rapids. So I think the walk-up song played a huge part in that.
Absolutely, absolutely. it's fun. Hey, whatever it takes, especially with baseball players, you know, whatever superstitions or anything that they need, make it happen. Especially exactly. When you come out of a game yesterday, like yesterday's game, a wonderful game for the Rafters. Trousta Black Battle Creek, 13-3, nice victory. They outhit Battle Jacks 12-7. For me, all that is wonderful. I keep coming back to this, the errors. I keep seeing those errors going down to 0 or 1. Not only is that obviously how you win baseball, part of that, but it also speaks to the chemistry of these kids and the job that the coaching staff is doing. We saw in the early part of the season, 3-4 errors in some of those early games. All of a sudden, winning starts going up and you start seeing those errors go down. I'm not saying that that's the whole reason, but it speaks to the chemistry and the coaching and the players, everybody working together on this. Is that what you're seeing from behind the scenes?
No, I fully agree. I think it's not just in baseball. I mean, I'm a huge basketball fan, and you know, the saying defense wins championships. Yeah. I think that's very real in baseball. You know, you notice some of these games, and yeah, you see the final stat line, and if there's 2 or 3 errors, that might end up as a loss, and then you go back and watch those, and you know, come to find out, then you follow it along, and you know, so we had, let's say we had an error with one out, and they end up scoring 3 or 4 runs, and it's like, okay, well, there would have been 2 outs or maybe a double play or something like that. So I think it does. It all comes down to the defense, and they're really locking in. You know, the home games that I've been at upstairs in the press box, it's been, you know, some of the double plays, and inning-ending double plays is something that I've taken a note of, is double plays that end the inning and get our bats out there, and then what happens after that inning-ending double play, a couple hits, a couple runs, it just really starts, kickstarts that offense on the field, you know, your defense on the field, you know, when you get up to home plate.
Tyler, Randy Paul here. Question for you real quick. I know that you won 2 of your last 3 games, and now you're on this road trip, a couple in Michigan that we split there, and now a couple here tonight and tomorrow. How are those road trips going so far, especially when you're over in Michigan?
Oh man, it's I wanted to bring Joey on. I think he might still be sleeping from all this road trip that he's doing. No, it was interesting. You know, I had it. I watched the game, the first game in Battle Creek, and you could just tell. You could tell that they were on a 9-hour bus ride. That's just what it comes down to. And then they sleep in Battle Creek, and they come back the next day, and you see the score of what yesterday's game was. So, I think one thing that plays to our advantage, guys, I think that most teams, that it doesn't, is our road trips. You know, we play lots of Wausau, we play lots of Green Bay, lots of Madison. Those are all 2 hours and less. So it we don't really have these long road trips, which is really nice. You know, looking at a team like Kokomo or Traverse City or Battle Creek, that they're always traveling to Illinois or to Indiana or some of those teams. I think it plays in our favor, having, you know, not too long of a bus ride where we can hop off the bus and be ready to go. So it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight up in Traverse City. The team checked out of the hotel at about 11 and drove up to Traverse City, and then now are kind of waiting for some indoor batting practice and ready to go for the game tonight. It'll be interesting. I think, again, some of the road trips you take a notice on, and some of the, you know, shorter road trips we come out stronger than it would be whether we're staying the night or having to trek a long way.
Tyler Miller joining us from the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Tyler, got the Rafters out of town for the next night or two here. They're going to be in Traverse City for tomorrow's game as well. Then we're back home on Wednesday welcoming Lakeshore for a two-game series, and we kick it off Wednesday with a special promotional night.
Yeah, we just put out the jerseys this morning on social media. Mm-hmm. We're going to be wearing military appreciation jerseys that we will actually auction off during the game. And those benefits will go to a charity that Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa has chosen. So those jerseys are really cool. I encourage everyone to go check those out on our social media pages, and even attend the game or watch on TV to see what those look like. And all past and present military personnel can receive free tickets to that game courtesy of Ho-Chunk Gaming. So we really like this. We do this every year. The military nights are one of our most popular ones. The jerseys always match kind of the energy that we put out on the field, and it's always a battle out there, so we're excited for Military Appreciation Night on Wednesday.
Every year, you guys do such a great job with these jerseys. Do you have somebody you go to for the designs or anything special? Okay, I'd love to give them a shout-out.
No, yeah, it's great. The shout-out is OT Sports and actually Rawlings. It's something crazy to think about that now that I'm in the kind of back-end front office side of things mm-hmm. for a baseball team. I'm working with Major League Baseball vendors. OT Sports is the premier alternate jersey for minor league baseball. Mm-hmm. So if you're familiar with the Timber Rattlers, they wear the Utter Tuggers and kind of all their alternate jerseys. The guy that I work with is the same guy that designs those and produces those.
Wow.
So we're working with professional
cool.
designers and professional manufacturers for these. A little insight, are actually our military jerseys. It is a playoff of one that a minor league team is wearing this year, which is really cool. Rawlings let us kind of play into that design,
and I
thought it worked out really well. So again, we're all, you know, one big team here in the baseball side of it, and we're not, you know, necessarily stealing anything by using some of these designs, because it's, you know, Rawlings has the design and they let us use it. So it's really cool that we're able to use major league stuff here at the summer collegiate level.
It all helps to promote the game. A rising tide raises all boats, whether it's a Northwoods League team or an MLB team. It all helps. And showing how all these leagues are connected and the connection of baseball, I want to wrap up with you talking about some of the players that are going to be coming to join us pretty soon here.
Yeah, so we've got two kids from Virginia University joining us later this week. These boys, men, I should say, have just recently finished out the College World Series that they participated in. The one that I'll highlight quickly is Harrison Didowick, an outfielder for Virginia. He's a freshman, and he got some playing time this year. He batted, let's see, I have it up right here. Oh, where did it go? So he batted .252 with a .366 on-base percentage and a .428 slugging as a freshman at Virginia. He actually played in the College World Series games. They lost to Florida, who is obviously now competing tonight for the title. And then their double elimination game, they got knocked out by TCU. But Virginia, this kid's been playing for them all season. He played in 53 games, had 159 at-bats, four home runs, 34 RBIs, So he'll be coming up here to get some more at-bats, but a Virginia team that we've had lots of guys come through in the past and make an impact. These two kids that are coming for Virginia are our last two guys that we're actually waiting on. And then we have our roster for the year, for the next 2 months. This will be our rock solid roster, and it came together pretty well.
I imagine that feels good for the coaching staff, for the team. It helps to build that chemistry, being able to lean into that a little bit more.
No, it does. And the one thing I do want to mention, because I know we do have a lot of Raptors listeners out there, is giving a little insight onto how the roster works. You know, these guys that are playing in the College World Series, they're signed just like the normal guys are. You know, they signed back in November, December, January. The problem is we knew that this was going to happen most likely. Mm. So what the league does is they actually place temporary contracts that each team can use. And so that they're called place, you know, they help place save spots on the roster. Mm-hmm. So we actually start our roster off with a bunch of temporary contracts because these guys are in the playoffs and some of the JUCO guys and D3 guys are playing in the championships. So we actually have had a team of about 15 temporary guys that now we're down to just two or three. And one name that I know people are gonna know, and I've gotten lots of questions about why he's no longer on the team, is Brandon Rogers. He was signed to a temporary contract, was here on opening day. Did really well, played his heart out, became a fan favorite very quickly. It just runs into that issue where you can only have 35 guys, and he was on a 10 to 12 day contract, and we tried our hardest to find a spot for him here on the roster. It just doesn't always work out like that. Mm-hmm. And when you have guys from Virginia who are just waiting to finish out their season, they kind of take their spot once they're ready to go. So it's interesting now being on the back end that I can explain how the roster works, and I know I don't always need to, but I always like giving the insight of,
yes,
we don't want these guys to leave. It just happens that, you know, they're signed to temporary contracts and they end up playing their hearts out. And best wishes to all these guys that come through here, and best of luck. You know, hopefully a lot of the Northwoods League teams, there's actually a waiver wire that you can go through that another Northwoods League team can pick you up, and we've had that happen before. So, unfortunately, sometimes it's just how it works with our roster, that we have to let some good ball players go. But I promise you that these guys coming in are going to make a difference to our roster.
Cannot wait. Tyler, we love the behind-the-curtain stuff. We want that stuff more than ever, especially with baseball. So you give that to us every time, man. We love that. That was fantastic.
I'll give you that
bro.
Inside scoop. I'll be your Northwoods League.
I love it. I appreciate it. Especially because I think a lot of this stuff is not common knowledge when it comes to that. So I think that's it's not as clean-cut as it is on the top levels and everything. So it really is helpful for the audience, I think. That's really cool, man. Thank you for that. Thank you so much for joining us. I know how busy you are, Tyler. We'll be talking with some more Raptors next week. You and I will talk about that behind the scenes. And looking forward to it, brother. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, I appreciate you guys, as always. WFHR is home for the Raptors, and we don't take that for granted, and love everything you guys do for us, and hope to see everyone out at Winterfield eventually here soon.
We're going to send some people your way. We're giving away tickets right now, bro. So we'll send some people your way. Thank you, Tyler. Thank you. Take care.
Yo, I will. Thanks.
Tyler Miller joining us right there, operations manager with your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors.
You know, I really love that, because you can imagine that when people don't know the behind the scenes stories, they're like, why would they get rid of a guy like that? You know, that doesn't seem to make any kind of sense. Well, now we know why.
Yeah.
Don't have an option. They have no choice. They sign him to those temporary contracts. So.
And you have to set these things up in such advance. Yeah. So,
like you said, what, November, December?
Yeah. Yeah. You have no, and so many things, I mean, God, a billion things can happen between now and then. Between
exactly.
Not only injuries and stuff, but slumps and different things like that. That makes it so much, that impresses me so much more. I was already impressed with what these coaches do in the Northwoods League, but especially with our Raptors, where we're homers, of course, but it's all these coaches that do a great job that are able to do that with these teams. The idea of trying to map this stuff out, if you're a manager in baseball already, is difficult. If you're talking about like an hour or two from now, How many times growing up have we seen a baseball game where the starting pitcher does – well, the last game I went to was a Milwaukee Brewer game, and I think it was Ashby that was supposed to start, and he threw up. Like, he literally, we couldn't tell what was going on because he's just hunched over as far up as we are, you know? But he's just hunched over and stuff. And then all of a sudden, we're like, wait a minute, that's not his number. There's a different guy up there because he was sick. He got sick, but like right before the game and everything. That happens. That's baseball every day almost. To do this, what these guys in the Northwoods League do, is very impressive to me. That is something.
Someone was just talking to me the other day about Coach Peckman, you know, for the River Kings, too. And gave this person a call from North Carolina, where he's living and trying to sell his home so he can make a permanent residence here in Wisconsin, right? And there's another example, right? All the behind-the-scenes things that he does that we are fortunate to get the glimpse at and then that he shares with us over the airwaves.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just another example of when you've got something that's not the major league level and you don't really know all the details, even here at our level, it's really cool to get.
And to see the connections, too. I know it's something simple as jerseys and everything, but to have our rafters working with Rawlings, working with these companies and everything, it really does better the product. It's similar to, I think, in all leagues, in all sports, I think that we need to get back to or get to the point of, in college and regular, it's the same rules. Having the same rules on all levels. I think that we're getting closer and closer to the point where that's almost got to be like mandatory. I think college football is one of the ones that stands out the most to me about the rule changes. And I'm not talking about the overtime rule. That's more of health. That's more of safety. We can't have these kids playing like until like 1 a.m. and everything. But outside of that, I mean the basic rule things. Once the NFL figures out what a catch is, you know, that kind of stuff.
Don't hold your breath on that one.
Yeah. I think with baseball, it's become that much more mandatory where you have to have, if we're going to have these rule changes in MLB, whether you like it or not, everybody else has got to follow suit. Otherwise, what are we doing? What good does it do to be prepping these kids in AA or AAA or in the Northwoods League if they get to the majors and all of a sudden, hey, you have a pitch clock now? Like, that's not something to easily adjust to or whatever. So, it's interesting. We want to send you to the ballpark. We want to send you to Winter Field. Randy and I have 4 tickets right here that we want to get in your hands. Call up 424-2600, 424-2600. It doesn't matter if you won anything yesterday. You can win it today, too. 424-2600. You'll win these tickets. I'm just giving them to you. All you have to do is tell me a favorite 90s baseball player.
Ooh.
That's all I want. I want a favorite 90s baseball player.
So it's like a Brewer, Larry Heisel, or Robin Yount.
Absolutely.
Anything like that.
Any great 90s baseball player, Dave. Good morning. I did it too, Randy. Yep. Good afternoon. You're on Playmakers.
Yes. I'm calling about the tickets.
Yeah. Just give me a 90s baseball player. Any name.
Paul Molitor.
There you go. That's the winner right there. Thank you very much for calling up, sir. Can I get your first name?
It's Dwayne, D-U-A-N-E.
Hey, Dwayne, thank you very much for calling up and playing along with us. Dwayne, are you a Raptors fan?
Yeah.
We're going to have these tickets right up front for you. You'll be able to pick them up anytime, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, okay?
Okay.
Hang on the line for me, Dwayne. I'm going to get a little more information from you off air.
Okay, very good.
Hey, Dwayne, real quick, I was going to actually let you go because I thought your phone was breaking up, but as long as I got you, you enjoying the season so far?
Oh, yeah, really good. And I listen to you guys every day, 1320.
Appreciate that very much. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. We'll talk a little bit more off air. Randy and I will be back with plenty more to do. He's got some local coverage for us we'll touch on just a tiny bit. Not much going on, but we'll put Randy to work here when we come back on Playmakers. Brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers here on WFHR. Randy and James here with you. 3:33 on the clock. Thank you so much for joining us. Phone lines are wide open, 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join us like Dwayne did, won himself some Rafter tickets. Shout out to Dwayne. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to all of you for joining us. We got Rafter baseball coming up a little bit later. Right now, Randy Paul with some local coverage.
Yeah, you know, at this time of year, we've wrapped up the high school baseball season. They had the 4 championships. That was already a week ago, and Division One, that was kind of a cool story, wasn't it? With Whitefish Bay winning the championship, and Craig Council's kid was like one of the igniters on that team.
How wild that was.
Wasn't he wearing Willie Adames' shoes or something cool like that? So they ended up beating Hortonville. Well, Hortonville's just outside of Appleton, so not far from here. I think Division Two was Denmark. They are probably, 20 minutes from my hometown, so they won Division Two. And I think Pichelli was in Division Three also, if I remember correctly.
Yes,
I think they came up short, lost, I believe, 3-1. So a little bit of local flavor there as well. Now, you know, we've got a lot of these high schools where the kids all come together and they play Legion Ball. And the coach of the Wisconsin Rapids area Legion team is Court Helber. And Court, of course, played for Lincoln High School. He and Vince Beagle were teammates in the championship game there. And I run into Court occasionally, right, every once in a while. And they're off to a great start. They're 9-1 on the season. Their only loss is to Everest, 8-3, and they're 3-1 in the Valley Conference. Last game they defeated Merrill in 5 innings, 20-5. So they got kids from Assumption, from Lincoln, all joining together and playing on that team. And I think they had everybody back from last year with a couple of additions. So it's kind of fun. They're at Antigo tonight, and they're at Stevens Point tomorrow. Both of those games are at 7, and then Wednesday and Thursday they're at home for two games at 7 o'clock, Wednesday against Point and Thursday against Wausau. So that's one of the fun things that's taking place as far as baseball is concerned here locally. And the other thing that's fun locally, and we're talking a little bit about off air, is what's going to be happening already starting tomorrow over in Stevens Point at the Century World, as getting all set for the 43rd U.S. Senior Open on the Champions Tour. Tomorrow and Wednesday, they have the practice rounds. And, of course, we're going to have the two Wisconsin favorites over there. And the leading money winner right now for the year, I think, is the leading in the Schwab Cup points as well. Steve Stricker will be there, as well as Jerry Kelly. I think I heard Jerry Kelly was playing there this last week already.
Yeah, I heard that,
And said, the rough is normally 2 inches. Now it's 12. they got that really grown. Last year, one of my son's friends had an opportunity to get us over there. And I think we played actually the last round there.
Oh, I was going to ask if you played this course. Okay,
yeah. It was the last round before they closed it down until, now this tournament that'll take place. And it was one of those specials that how many holes you get in before dark, so we got in about 16 or whatever. But I'm just thinking, boy, that was kind of cool. We got to play on the course, and the next people to play on the course will be these seniors having
very
fun.
Very cool.
Yeah, so we hope to get over there, maybe get a chance to see that on Sunday.
Back in Chicago, there's a court. It's still there, and you still have this, can be a grimy city, Chicago, but this particular piece of blacktop on the south side, you can't spit on that court, Randy. That's the court that Tim Hardaway played on. That's the court that, I can ramble for 20 minutes on Chicago legends that played on this court and that grew up in that area and stuff. And to this day, it's a court. It's like it's Mecca in there. You can't do anything. No graffiti on the court, nothing like that. Like, people treat it really good. They have a respect for it, even though it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago Hardaway played over there and stuff like that. The idea of, I've played ball on that court, and to this day, it still gives me a little jolt to the feeling and stuff. I can't imagine what it would feel like to play a course like that, knowing that there's going to be some people that you've watched for years playing this course and the next ones to play it. That's pretty cool, just in general. I know you're not alone in that. I know that there's a lot of locals that are fans of that and enjoying it. When it comes to this particular course, is there anything that stands out more than others? Because I know most courses, and I'm obviously not a golf head, but I know that most courses have something the Masters has things that others don't. Is there something about this particular course, other than being in the great state of Wisconsin, that stands out with other ones?
Well, of course, that's enough. But on top of that, they've got what's known as the flower hole. So they've got this par 3 that is completely surrounded by flowers. Mm-hmm. And it is, all you got to do is look up the flower hole.
I think I've seen it.
Yeah, it's just gorgeous, and so that's another one of those things. If your ball goes in the flowers, you don't dare go get it.
That just
stays there and it is lost. So that's probably, the top thing on that course is the flower hole. Of course, the amenities there are just second to none, and it's just a beautiful facility that they've got over there. And they've got restaurants over there that people like to go to. They've got an indoor driving range and tennis facility that people can go and do. And sometimes we take the grandkids over there in winter and just hit some balls just to kind of stay loose a little bit and have some fun with the grandkids. Got just a lot of fun things over there. And we happened to drive by just on the highway yesterday heading up to Wausau and saw all the tents that they've already got set up, and that's always kind of special because they got places you can buy things and they've got concessions and it's going to be a fabulous couple of days. Just hope the weather holds.
Golf is no different than any other sport. Even the NFL is always looking to grow and bring in new people. But when it comes to like the fringe sports, the things that are right under baseball and basketball, you know, that sort of thing, you're looking at soccer, you're looking at golf, a lot of that. These are industries that are trying to find ways to grow their sports. And baseball has done a really nice job of getting to rural communities, to smaller communities, and putting money into a baseball field or putting in money into a local team and high school teams and that. And they're promoting the game that way. You see what soccer has done over the years to build that game and that group up, and what is going to happen with a whole generation growing up with Lionel Messi coming to their towns and that, what that will do. That's very interesting to me. But golf has always been that sport that I thought, well, we're just going to stand pat. We're good with where our fan base is. And certainly I'm sure that, you know, 20 years ago when I was a kid first seeing Tiger Woods, or 30 years ago and first seeing some of this, it started to change. And it was like, well, wait a minute, we can be bigger. We can be the biggest game in town. And here they are, they grow the sport. And certainly it has faded certain things that has affected that. You don't have Tiger, you don't have that face of the league like you used to. The young golfers have certainly come up, and your guys out there that are a little bit more of a common name have helped. But what I think has really, truly helped golf, and it's not just here, but I'm using here as an example, but you have Alpine Valley. You have something like that in Rome blowing up. You have these, and all of a sudden that it's not just guys like between our ages, Randy, playing, but it's young kids that are getting into this sport. And all of a sudden that instead of when they go to college, they're not switching over to basketball or track and field or something. They're staying with golf. Very similar with soccer, where instead of going into baseball or basketball, they're staying with soccer. We're seeing this more. And having events like this in towns like Stevens Point, cities like Stevens Point and everything, this is the way you really do grow an industry. This is the way you grow a sport. It used to be, well, we have to have the flashy face of the franchise, of the league. And that just doesn't fall off trees. There are no more Tiger Woods. There's not another one of those coming out. And even if there was somebody who was very similar to Tiger, well, Tiger just did it. You know, it wouldn't matter as much. It wouldn't be as unique, this unicorn and all that. It wouldn't be as much. It's very smart the way that they are growing it. It's a little surprising considering some of the things that, you know, golf has done in recent weeks to shock us and everything. But all that being said, if I'm a golf fan, I got to feel pretty good about the future of the sport.
Well, I want my grandchildren to practice a lot and do well because Keegan Bradley just won $3.6 million yesterday.
That seems like a good reason.
So that's not a bad reason. So I'm going to go swing a club after this is done, too, yes, and see if I can't get on the Champions Tour.
I'm still trying to become a starting pitcher in baseball. Yeah, I hear you.
But, you know, so many people just talk about Wisconsin in general as a destination for golf. You know, you think we got Whistling Straits, which has held the Ryder Cup down there. We've got University Ridge down by Madison. We've got Sand Valley just south of here. We got all our great courses here in town. Lake Arrowhead, we got the Ridges, we got Homestead. I mean, even Tri-City, for all of even our little small courses, either, you know, it's a fun, unique, great experience, or the people make it in Wisconsin, yeah. Right? Yeah. And then, of course, now you got Century over there where it's going to hold the tournament this week. So Wisconsin really is a golf destination. You can hardly drive, you know, 20 miles without running into a golf course in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And think about it. You know, we are probably about 7-8 months of the year that we can even golf. So to think of that, that's really incredible. The other thing talk about growing the sport, I recently heard that there's a golf course in the area where they got a bunch of young kids working out there. I mean, I'm talking like 9, 10, 11-year-olds, not really working, but just kind of being around the course. And so the owner has them like chipping and putting nonstop, you know? And they said, just watch out in about, you know, 8, 9, 10 years when these kids are in high school, these kids are going to dominate high school golf in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And that's what I just loved hearing that they're, you know, how you always have these camps for soccer and for baseball and softball and basketball. But now having a golf, you know, getting these kids involved at an early age like that, that's just going to grow the sport and keep those courses open.
David Stern had an idea with the NBA that the sport could grow if they just could get to the international level. And what could happen with that, and how much it could grow the sport and the game of basketball. And I as much as I had a problem with certain things about David Stern, one of the things that I really did respect about him is that he loved the game of basketball. To have a commissioner that truly loves the sport, I don't know if Rob Manfred even knows what baseball is. I genuinely, if he was in this room right now, I would drill him baseball questions, because I'm not 100% that guy even understands the game he's in charge of. But I respected that about David Stern, and I'm watching the NBA draft this past week, and the top guys are half of them are from another country. And it just is, it's so mind-boggling when you take a step back and you think of who are the top players in the NBA right now. At least five or six of them aren't even from our country. And to see where the game has gone, it'd be cool to see other sports grow like that.
The number one pick, let's see if I can get his right. Wembanyama.
Wembanyama. It's a fun one.
From France, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Second tallest guy drafted, I think, behind Yao Ming, 7'5", I believe. Mm-hmm. From France, right?
Yeah.
Talk about international, right? And again, you look at colleges, the top five picks, only one came out of college, right?
Yeah.
Brandon Miller, number two out of Alabama. Outside of that, G League. Mm-hmm. We also had those brothers from the Overtime Elite. Wasn't that cool, too?
Yeah, that was.
The Thompson brothers.
Yeah.
And as you go through all 53 picks in the draft, there's not a whole lot of guys in there from college. Now, I got a kid out of Marquette, the Prosper kid.
Yes.
He went 36th. How about this? This one just kind of blows you away. Mm-hmm. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But Drew Timmy doesn't get drafted. All he does is, over his career, averages 21.2 points per game. This was last year. 21.2 points per game, 7.5 rebounds, shot 61.2% from the field, and he doesn't get drafted. But on the good news is, where is he now? Agent with the Bucks, right?
I will be shocked if that kid isn't in the starting, or not the starting lineup, but isn't on the roster, the Milwaukee Bucks roster by some point in the season. He is a 4-year player, comes in knowing all these, has an amazing skill set. The trouble for him was, he's not 6'4". If he was 6'4 to 6'8 and just able to play the wing, he would have been drafted in the late first round, I believe. But because he's a traditional center, power forward type of, the NBA doesn't know what to do with that guy anymore.
Unless you're 7'5 like Yamanan.
Right. Yeah. But who does know what to do with him? Coaching staffs. And if there is a coaching staff that I trust in the NBA, it is the Milwaukee Bucks coaching staff. Now, it's a changeover. You've got a bunch of different new people, but there are certain things that have stayed. And with that, I look at Giannis's game, how that has evolved. This kid being able to play with athletes like that. And Drew Timmy, I've seen interviews with him. I've seen that he is one of these players. This is his love. He's going to work at this game. There is not a bigger motivated thing right now for him than not getting drafted. That I would be surprised if he can't transition. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star, but I could see him being a Bobby Portis-type player, where he comes in and gives you that 10, 15 minutes. He has those games, a couple of times a season where, he becomes a cult hero kind of thing, especially with that last name. And coming from one of the few recognizable names from college basketball, we actually know who he is.
Yeah, you're right. As I went down the roster, and I saw this Jacquez kid from UCLA, and of course the Prosper from Marquette. But you're right, Brandon Miller, of course. But there's not a whole lot of names you recognize, because there's not a lot of college kids drafted, for one thing.
Yeah.
I read something too. The top five surprise non-picks, that end up going free agent. Well, he was one of them. And I think everybody would be surprised. But that's kind of the NBA. You talk about going international. That's where they're looking nowadays. And unless you're 7'5". They just aren't looking for big guys in the middle. But I think we aren't sure about Brook yet, Brook Lopez yet.
Yeah, we don't know where he's a free agent, Chris Middleton. Yep. That's a whole interesting situation right there with that.
So having that 6'10" Drew Timmy sitting in your back pocket, I don't think that's a bad thing either.
Mm-mm. We'll take a quick break. Our final one of the hour. Come back with more fun on Playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers here on WFHR, brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. 424-2600, that is the number to call up and join Randy and I. Looking forward to talking with you. I've had a good show already. We got to give away some rafter tickets. Had a great conversation with Tyler Miller from your rafters. And Randy and I were just catching up on some local coverage, touching on the U.S. Senior Open coming up tomorrow in Stevens Point. That is really exciting around here. But let's go ahead and take a phone call, Randy, to kick off our last segment. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good afternoon, James.
God, did I do morning again? I did it. Good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
I almost caught myself doing the same thing. Make sure you say good afternoon. It's been a couple weeks since I've talked to you. Since you moved to the afternoon, I finally remembered. So, you're talking about the Bucks a little bit earlier. I think that Chris Middleton, he's not going to get that big contract elsewhere. I think. And I've just heard through the past week from other sports talk that they feel that Middleton's going to probably just take a team-friendly deal.
Yeah.
That maybe have, you know, kind of free up some of that money to maybe, you know, bring back Lopez, sign some other guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think Middleton is going to go anywhere. It'd be nice to see Lopez come back. He's older, though, so, I mean, how many more teams can really look at taking him on? You know?
Yeah. Well, and the thing that there's a positive and a negative here because Chris Middleton wants to win, and that's cool because if he wants to win, you would think he would stay with Milwaukee. The only unfortunate part is that he's already won, and
right.
That was I haven't heard him talk about winning since he's won, and I haven't seen the same player. Injuries and other things can affect that certainly, but. To me, and this is any NBA team that has a great player, let alone one of the arguably three greatest players in the world right now. If you have that, your window every day is closing more and more. And you have to assess this. I know it's a smaller franchise, but they just brought in some Haslam money. Okay, so you've got the money. Are you going to go over the tax, under the tax? You have to figure that stuff out now. A big crux in this, though, is there is nobody out there in free agency. The NBA 2023 free agency year is just dead. There's Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, D'Angelo Russell, Kevin Love, Draymond Green. These are names that you know, but these are not names that. Well, if I bring in Russell Westbrook to Milwaukee, that's an NBA championship. Like I don't know about that. So to me, yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. So to me, that helps the Bucks with the Middleton situation. And hopefully you are not outbidding yourselves. You are not in one of those situations. I think I agree with you. I think he's going to stay in Milwaukee. I think it's the best fit for him. He's where he can get the most money and his best opportunity to win.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think there might be a trade maybe in there. I mean, I know mm-hmm. they were talking possibly the Bucks were talking about maybe trading up to maybe the early second round, but you know they never. I mean, they did move up a little bit and they got that kid from Washington. The kid that they picked for Washington, but
it's a nice addition.
I'm kind of just like with Wisconsin football, excited to see where the new coaching staff is going to take the Bucks. I mean, I'm not a huge NBA fan, but I'm going to be a homer just like you, James.
And
root for the Bucks and everything, but I don't know. I'm really hoping that things work out with the Bucks. I mean, it sucks that we are a small market. Mm. We got that in all of our sports between the Packers, the Bucks, the Brewers, the Badgers. I mean,
you know, I think the other thing is, I think the other thing too with Chris Middleton, I think if I remember, I read right, he's 30 years old, so and he's mm-hmm. had some injuries, so that's two strikes against him. But the other thing, you know, that right. he's been playing with Giannis his whole career,
yep.
you know, and said he'd probably like to get that second one with Giannis, and now, you know, adding a few pieces around him, maybe it'll be something he'll say, yeah, I'll stay around for a year or two yet. But I don't expect him to get a huge contact from the Bucks either.
Well, I'll say this too.
No, I don't see that either.
I would rather be Milwaukee than Phoenix right now.
Yeah.
I would not want to be Phoenix. I know that they won the offseason, and they're going to be the talk of the town right up until September, October when the NBA season starts. Talk to me in December and in February because that team is going to look like a I might be able to get a contract with them over there because they got no depth. They got no depth. And every year we see this, and it drives me crazy with the NBA. Like the teams that win with, yes, defense. Yes, they have to have an all-star, a legendary player, will have you. But the biggest consistency in the NBA to me is depth. That's what wins championships. It's a survival of the fittest. It's a who can survive at the end. Like when the Bucks won the championship, that was a big part of it that played into it was injuries. It plays into every single NBA, every single one ever. You can go way back to the 40s or 50s even, and injuries take a place. Depth, where is your depth? They got nothing in Phoenix. Bradley Beal has not played a full season in years. Kevin Durant hasn't been able to. Even Devin Booker has been injured. I don't know what that team's going to look like. I would rather have a team that's trying to build depth, trying to build a solid full 1 through 12, than a team that is trying to win the offseason.
Well, and I don't disagree with you on that. How many times that the Bucks this year won 6 deep?
Mm-hmm.
at, you know, or even when Giannis was, you know, they gave Giannis the day off, and they were still able to, you know, win some games and do move things around a little bit. I mean, I know Middleton wasn't there until halfway through the season, where he was playing consistent basketball. I mean, the Bucks had depth. I mean, that was the one thing that was depth. They just didn't have the coaching.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Coach Bud brought a championship to Milwaukee, but it just some of his calls and taking a timeout and doing certain things in matchups just didn't do well this year.
Yeah, I'm very
– To me, it almost seemed like he coached himself out of a job.
He did, yes. I think that's exactly what happened. I don't think it was so much his voice got old in the locker room as you lose confidence in a guy when he loses confidence in himself. And I don't like the whole psyche thing, trying to get into another person's head or anything like that. I'm saying this because I've heard him talk about it in interviews.
And then you also put into the equation, do you think that management talked to Giannis and said, what do you think? Shall we make a move? And you think he had a part in that?
Right.
In this day and age, I would think so.
He liked Coach Bud.
He did.
Yeah.
I just think toward the end, and how the players were reacting to some of his calls, I think he lost the locker because of how he was.
You need new blood. You need something new sometimes. And now is that you don't want to be a season or two late on that. You want to be early on. You'd rather be early than late on something like that. Nobody says, well, they should have hung on to that coach. They say it with players, but you don't normally hear that about a coach. With bringing in Griffin, I think it's a nice addition. I think it's a nice fit, especially a full circle thing for him. He started his coaching career in Milwaukee. He knows the area. That's going to fit. And I don't mean this in a mean way, but with today's, and this isn't just the NBA. You notice in baseball too. Look at the Florida Marlins, or the Miami Marlins manager and everything. You got a lot of these younger guys that are able to connect with these players. And Griffin's, yes. I think he's going to have a. He's already been able to connect with these guys better than Coach Bud was.
Your Detroit Lions.
Yes, right? Yes, yeah. There's another example. I mean, yeah. Even LaFleur in Green Bay, you have these younger coaches that are able to get on the same wavelength with these guys, and it just plays better. I don't mean you can't have an older coach.
Right.
There's plenty of Greg Popovich does a great job of connecting with younger players.
Belichick
even does. Yeah, so it can be done. I see where the Bucks are going with that. Appreciate the call as always, sir.
I'm going to give you one more thing to chew on besides on that. You know, making things fresh. Are we going to see that in Milwaukee? Or the Brewers?
Yeah, that's what I thought you meant. Yeah. I wonder. Yeah.
Yeah, what is he? Counsel's the 10 years now, second most tenured National League coach, I think, and Francona with.
He doesn't have a contract right now either. I mean, he's up at the end of the year. So.
Yeah.
We'll see how this year plays out, I think.
Do you think, as things stand right now, do you want to see him next year or not?
I don't know. I mean, something's got to happen somewhere. Making a coaching change, or is it going to be a GM change or owner change? It's frustrating a little bit.
I think let's put aside the fact that he's one of these people I think most of us would like to hang out with. Like, I don't think anybody has a problem with Counsell as a person, as an attitude or anything like that. I think if you put that aside, it makes it a little bit easier. Because for me, one of the biggest things that pulls me into him is what he's done with not a lot. And that he's a likable guy. He's a likable guy. People enjoy him, not just players, but obviously as the fans, the journalists that cover the team. Nobody says a bad thing about Craig Counsell off the field. I think that if you take that aside, put that aside, it makes it a little bit easier. Like, okay, well, has he won? Has he won? Because that's what it's going to come down to.
And in a small market, he's done pretty well. And you just look at the IL again.
Yeah.
Boy, just.
We're going into extra innings here. We got to go. We appreciate the call.
Thanks,
Thank
bud.
You, sir. Thank you. Randy, appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining us. You're going to be able to be with us for
a little bit. Happy 4th.
Yeah, happy 4th to you. And we'll talk to you soon and later, brother.
Great.
We'll be back here next Monday with more Playmakers brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here at
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.